104.9, serving the North Shore and the Merrimack Valley. WBOQ Gloucester is North Shore 104.9.
The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peavey, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccount. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant. And if you've looked out at the North Shore Mall lately, the walls, they are tumbling down. There has been some major machinery that is knocking down the walls of Sears. That place will soon be no more. You know, I always thought that it would come down a lot quicker, but I guess they're doing it carefully. They're doing it precisely. If you left anything inside Sears, it's probably gone now. You're not going to see it anymore. It is turning into rubble, and it's nice to kind of watch it from the windows of my office. We overlook Sears and Macy's and that corner there. We're right after Long's Jewelers as you drive up the hill. So we're getting the bird's eye view of what's happening and lots of changes happening over at the North Shore Mall in the next couple of years. So look forward to that. But we are here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And we do that by talking about anything and everything as it relates to financial planning, investment advice, tax guidance, life insurance, making major financial decisions, whatever it is, we all have to do that. And as I look out the windows of my office, I see all these cars sitting in the mall the mall parking lot. And it's amazing how many people are there making money decisions. That's what people do. When you go to the mall, you are making a money decision. Everybody's got a different money decision. Which type of a store will I shop at? Am I going for an impulse purchase? Am I going just to schmy around for a little bit? Or am I going to buy a whole bunch of stuff? Maybe I'm just going for underwear and socks. Perhaps I'm going for a big screen TV. Maybe I'm going for lunch. It doesn't matter. You are making financial decisions. And when you open up that menu, whether you're at Tony C's or at the Bancroft or wherever it is, and you look at that menu and you go, how much money do I want to spend? Those are all financial and money decisions. And it's all part of our way of life. But you know what? All of those money decisions are decisions that you and I can control. And I think that's something that the most important thing to realize about personal financial decisions is many of us get so wrapped up in the things we can't control, and we forget about dealing with the things we can control. You know, we don't know the direction of the stock market. You don't know what's going to happen in Washington. You don't know what's going to happen with this economic climate. You don't know what the weather's going to be next week. You don't know if a blizzard is coming or if we're going to have 60-degree weather on Thursday. Nobody knows that, but you know what you can decide? You can decide where you choose to shop, what you choose to buy for groceries, whether you choose to eat out or make your own coffee at home, where you choose to travel, what car you choose to buy, the clothes you purchase. Frankly, the job you choose to keep. There's a lot of different decisions that are within our control. Whether you choose to participate in your 401k plan, should you buy life insurance, should you have an emergency fund, those are things that you can control. The stuff you can't control, you got to let that roll off a little bit. You got to say, did I put myself in the best position possible to make smart financial decisions? I see this a lot. I see, you know, in the news lately, we've talked about this whole government shutdown and the fact that many employees that are federal employees, I think they said it could be upwards of 800,000 people that are not working right now. And it's unfortunate that those people aren't working. It's unfortunate that the government is shut down. And frankly, I talked about this last week on the show, and I thought I would get some really nasty emails or people calling to complain because I honestly didn't have sympathy, frankly, for the people that are out of work, that are federal employees that don't have any savings. And I know, Mark, that's not fair that to say, well, people live paycheck to paycheck. I get that to an extent, and there are periods of time where you may. But there are other periods of time where you have a responsibility to yourself, to your family, to your future, where you say, you know what? I could have an emergency fund if I did things a little differently. Now, there are some that don't have that situation. I totally get that. But there are a lot of us that are. A lot of us could do better at the way we spend money, the way we choose to do what we do. You know, we listen to our grandparents and our great-grandparents, and they talk about, when I was a kid, you know, things were a lot different. It's true. They were a lot different. They didn't have the pressures of having to stay on top of everything, stay in the groove of everything that goes on, the way we use technology, the way we allocate our time, the amount of money that we spend on our health, the amount of money we spend on our day-to-day care, the way we spend money on food, the way we spend money on activities, all those different things. It was different back then. Think about all the stuff that you did, perhaps if you're 50 plus. Think about all the things that you did at home that cost no money. That cost no money. How hard was it to, how much did it cost to play kick the can out in the circle near your house, or play hide and seek, or play wiffle ball, or have a football game, or race around the house to see who could race? You know, I remember doing this with my brothers. We'd stand in front of the house. One would race one way. One would run the other way. And we'd race each other around the house. How many times did you take your bike and just drove it to a friend's house and just hung out? How much did all of that stuff cost? Now, how many kids do any of that stuff? We don't. Now, I'm not saying that what we do now is wrong. I'm just saying it's different. But everything that we do seems to have a price tag attached to it. And we are victims of that environment. And so, you know, being out of work, you need to be able to cover your fixed expenses, your rent, your electric, your cable, all of those things. And if you don't have an emergency fund, man, that's problematic. And so one of the things I want to remind people about in this first segment is the importance of emergency funds. You know, people will say, well, Mark, you know, what about the stock market? Should I participate in the 401k plan? Should I set up a Roth IRA? All that kind of stuff. No, the first thing you should do is, number one, make sure that you're no longer carrying credit card debt. And if you're carrying credit card debt, that's problematic. And you should be working very hard, very, very hard to get rid of that. Think about this. If you're paying, let's say it's 12%. I know most credit cards are 18 to 20%. But let's say your credit card is charging you 12% on the balance that you're carrying. That means in order to break even, wherever your money is invested, it has to earn 12% or greater. You can't do that. No one's guaranteeing you that. That is not available. So every day that you carry a credit card balance, you're guaranteeing yourself the loss of money. And so when people call my office, like I had a guy call the office this past week, he's participating in a 401k plan. And he got his quarterly statement. And the quarterly statement said that he was down 11%, 11% for the quarter. And he said, Mark, isn't that really bad? And I wrote back to him, I said, well, first of all, I want you to think about something. It's 11% for the quarter. For the year, you're only down 4%. So there were other quarters in the course of the year where you were up a little, other quarters where you were down. But yeah, you lost 11% in that quarter, where the stock market, the S&P 500, was down a little bit more than that. But I don't think you should be concerned. But that's 11%. So he thinks, wow, I'm doing lousy. But I also asked him, I said, any chance you have any credit card debt? He says, well, yeah, a little bit. I said, well, what's a little bit? He says, around $8,000 in credit card. $8,000. Now, he views this, he's 50 years old, he views this as a little bit of credit card debt. Now, this is one of those people that we don't necessarily have as a client. I have the company as a client. And so all of the people that work for the company are participants in the 401k plan. So they call me with periodic advice about the 401k plan only. I don't really know much about their other situation. And so I said, so why are you more concerned about losing money in your 401k plan than you are about carrying a little bit of credit card debt? And he hadn't really thought about it that way. I said, because I believe over time, your 401k plan is going to perform just fine. It's going to go through ups. It's going to go through downs. And when the stock market was moving down in the months of October, November, and December, you were still buying into your 401k plan. You were doing what everybody says they want to do, but are not willing to do when the reality comes. You were buying low when you usually buy high. Because you'd prefer to make some buys right now of the things that did really well. But no, buy low, as long as the companies that you have in your portfolio are quality. And he was so focused on that that he forgot about the fact that he's paying almost 20% on his $8,000 in credit card debt. 20%. So how much is 20% of $8,000? That's $1,600. That's $1,600. That's a little bit more than $110, $120 a month. Now, would you just be willing to just write a check for $110, $120, write it out to yourself, take it out of your bank, and just say, I'll now burn it? You know, take $110 a month out of the ATM machine and just light it on fire. That is what you're doing by maintaining credit card debt. But I want to keep saving for my retirement, Mark. I want to keep putting money away. Yeah, I get that. And that's important. But what are you doing to reduce your credit card debt? Because you don't do that, it's never going away. Think about this. If you have $8,000 in credit card debt right now, and you have a 20%, and I'm using this as a number. This is typical, by the way, and 20% is not outrageous these days in credit cards. 20% on $8,000 is, like I said, $1,600. So it's a little bit more than $100 a month, $102, $103. If you choose not to pay off your credit, if all you're doing is sending a check for $100 to $110 a month, if that's all you're willing to do, because it basically says on the credit card, my minimum balance is minimum I have to spend is $25. If you're sending a check for $100, maybe you're sending a check for $200. Only less than $100 of it is actually paying down the debt. The rest is just going to interest. That's crazy. That is absolutely insane. Is that something that you can control? Can you control the amount of debt you carry on your credit card? You better believe it. You can control it by paying it off. You can control it by stop spending money in other places, spending or investing. If your commitment is to stop wasting money, carrying a credit card is the greatest waste of all. And don't let anybody lead you to believe that, well, if I carry a balance, at least I'm showing that I'm credit worthy. That is crap. Pay your balance off. If you can pay your balance every month, you're just as credit worthy as someone that continues to pay on a lifetime of credit card debt. Let's be smart about this. That's what's called financial advice in a language you can understand. We got a lot more about that when we get back. I want to talk about this news, not the new, if you turn 70 and a half this year, I want to talk about required minimum distributions. I want to make sure that you're taking them, that you're doing it right, that we're setting you up for 2019. And we'll talk about that and more when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent. And we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had a $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where we've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families living on the North Shore and the surrounding community for more than, get this, 50 years. That's right, 50 years. Hard to believe it's been that long. I've been doing this 28 years now. I'm approaching my 29th year, I guess, this year, because it is 2019. Hard to believe Dad started the business in 1968. He sold the business to me in, when was it? 2007, when he sold the business. We continue to run it strong and run it bigger and better than ever. We have seen generations of clients. One of the things that we thoroughly enjoy in our office is not only seeing our clients achieve retirement success, but also getting to know their children and their children's children as clients and watching them blossom as well. Unfortunately, on the other end, when you've been doing this for 50 years, you also see the end of life stage. We see the full life cycle picture. We live through all of those challenges with our clients. In fact, we average one death a month in the office. It's been that way, for probably 7 or 8 years now. It's bound to happen. You know, think, my dad started the business in 1968. So I wanted to remind you, I was going to tell you a story about a client that I think I'm going to hold off now to the next segment, because I promised in this segment I would talk about this whole required minimum distribution thing at 70 and a half. Many people are approaching that magical day, age 70, 70 and a half. It's the time when you are required by law to take money from your collective retirement assets. Not all of it, some of it, pay taxes on it, and then do what you want with it. It's really that simple. Now, there's a lot of confusion. People make it way too confusing. When should I take my required minimum distribution? Some people say the rule really says the April following your 70 and a half birthday is the time when you need to take it for the first time. That's what the rule says. The reality is, it all depends on your birthday. The reality is you should take the required minimum distribution the year in which you turn 70 and a half. That makes the most sense. Because let's say you turned 70 and a half in November. Let's say you turned 70 and a half in November. So that means your birthday must have been, I don't know, May. So let's say you turned 70 and a half in November. If you waited until the April following your 70 and a half birthday, that would mean you'd turn 70 and a half in 2019 this year, but the April following your 70 and a half birthday would be 2020, right? Well, if you waited until that date, you would have to take a required minimum distribution for both 2019 and 2020 in the year 2020. You probably don't want to do that, because remember, when you take money from your IRA, it is taxable. And for many people, your IRA or your retirement accounts, excluding Roths, your retirement accounts are probably, in most people's cases, the largest investment asset you have. Many people have both a joint account, a personal account, a trust account, one of those. And then they also have a collection of IRAs or retirement accounts. Maybe you have a bunch of them. Maybe you've consolidated them all into one. My advice to you is, as you're approaching your 60s, think about the time when you're ready to take your pension and or Social Security. That should be the time when you say to yourself, all right, if I've got 401ks and 403bs and 457s and simple IRAs and SEP IRAs and KEOs and IRAs, and you might have all of those different types of accounts because of the different jobs you might have held over the course of your lifetime, it's time to consolidate them. It's time to bring them all down to one place. Now, does that mean I'm putting all of my eggs in one basket? Mark, I was told I should never put all of my eggs in one basket. I would agree, but what we're doing is we're putting them all into a basket with different colored eggs, different colored shapes, different patterns, different products, different everything in that basket. You can have one basket to hold it all. It's just, I don't want every egg to look exactly the same. That becomes problematic. that. Let me explain to you what all those eggs actually look like. All those eggs mean, well, maybe I will buy eggs that make up of all of my shares of the company that I worked for. Let's say maybe that was GE or Raytheon or Gillette or Procter & Gamble, whatever it might be. That's putting all my eggs in one basket. Another example of putting all my eggs in one basket is saying, you know what? I'm not going to buy one company, but I'm going to put all of my eggs in the S&P 500. That means I've just bought an investment that owns 500 different stocks, but they're all relatively going to perform pretty much the same way over time. That's dangerous too. I want you to buy a variety of different eggs in your basket that have different shapes, different sizes, different colors, and they react differently in ever-changing economic climate. That could mean big companies, small companies, international companies, bonds, short-term bonds, long-term bonds. Maybe there's gold in there. Maybe there's, and I'm using that purely, a commodity, whatever it is, real estate, whatever it is. You want to have a collection of stuff because one of the things that we do know, it's a rarity. It's a rarity when it happens, but you don't want everything going negative or going positive at the same time. Now, if you look back into 2018, one of the weird things that happened this year, there was not a single stock-based equity class, meaning big companies, small companies, value companies, growth companies, international companies, emerging markets companies, not a single one of those asset classes finished with a positive return. Every single one of them was negative. You couldn't pick an asset class in the industry that actually returned positive in 2018. Now, there was a difference between the negative returns you got. What if it ranged anywhere from negative 4 to negative 20? Now, you still would have had different eggs in different baskets. They would have performed differently. But moving forward, let's assume they all start to perform better. Let's say we flipped it all over. And let's say the best performance you could get next this upcoming year was anywhere from plus 4 to plus 20. And there's 10 or 11 different eggs in that basket, each performing a different rate of return within that range. Now, in retrospect, you would have said, well, geez, it would have been nice to have my basket perform plus 20. But wouldn't it have been nicer to have performance that incorporated every single one of those eggs, every single one of those different performance numbers, knowing that as the years move forward, some of the ones that performed a little bit less might perform better, and others that perform better might perform worse. So you want to be sure that you're building that portfolio, that basket of eggs. So now let's go back to that retirement thing we were just talking about, your IRA. If you consolidate everything into one place and have your big basket of eggs with a lot of different shapes, sizes, and everything, what you now want to do is you want to take a picture of what it's all worth. You have to take a look at what was the collective value of all of your retirement accounts as of the end of, let's say, 2018. We'll use that as our example here. Do you know what the value was of all of your IRA accounts at the end of 2018? I will tell you who does know that answer. They're called the Internal Revenue Service. Because every person every company, entity, institution, whatever you want to call it, that owns each of your or holds each of your various retirement accounts at the end of the year, they are by law required to report it to the IRS to say this was the value of Johnny's IRA. This was the value of Johnny's 401k, of his SEP IRA, of his SARSEP, whatever it could have been. So the IRS has an aggregate number. That number goes through this chart. It's a chart that is what I just call it, the required minimum distribution chart. Some people refer to it as the uniform lifetime table. I just call it the required minimum distribution chart. It's pretty simple. And so what happens is you have to look at a chart to determine how much of that value, the value of your account on the 31st of December, how much do I need to distribute if you turn 70 and a half in 2019? And the calculation is rather simple. You basically take the value of your account, and at age 70 and a half, you're going to divide that number by 27.4. Now, where do I get that number from? Well, from the table. So whatever that number is, it's a lot easier for me. It's a lot easier when I tell you, you need to take about 3.6% of the value of your account. That's really what it is. Around 3.6% you have to take. So if you have $100,000 in collective retirement accounts at 70 and a half, you need to take $3,600. And you can do the math along that. Now, do you have to take that money out all at once? Do you have to take it out when you turn 70 and a half or before you turn 70 and a half or after you turn 70 and a half. You need to take that money out. Like I said, the year in which you turn 70 and a half is the best year to take that first amount. But you can take it out anytime you want. Take it out in January, take it out in December. You want to take it out every month? You can. An office like ours, where we send out over $15 million a year in required minimum distributions. $1.3 million every month goes out of my office. Some people get a check for $200, some get $2,000, some get $8,000. It's all over the place. We manage that, and it goes direct deposited into your bank account, a check for that amount. So now, let's say that number, like I said, was $3,600, was that number you're going to have to take on that $100,000, 36 divided by 12, that's 300 a month, right? What if you want to take a little more? What if you want to take 500 a month instead of 300? Can you do it?
Yep.
No problem at all. Does not matter. You want to take 1,000 a month? You have to take the minimum. There's nobody that says you can't take more. And remember, you could have taken this amount after you turned 59 and a half, if you remember correctly, because 59 and a half, you were eligible to take money from your IRAs without any penalty. But at 70 and a half, you must take your minimum distribution. You must take it. Now, it's taxable. So what do you do about taxes? Does that mean you have to start paying estimated taxes? No. If you work with somebody who's going to help you with taking the minimum distribution, we can figure out what are the taxes that need to be withheld, and we do it for you. It happens automatically. We withhold the federal tax. We withhold the state tax. If it applies for those of you up in New Hampshire that are listening, I know that doesn't apply to you. So we take care of that. So you get your net check. You can continue to pay it. And I am very pleased to report that our operations person, who's been managing the minimum distributions in our office for 11 years now, has never missed hitting the minimum distribution payments for any of our 450 households. And I'm very proud of her for that, because you know what? If you miss it, it's a 50% penalty. Not 5, not 15, 5-0, 50% penalty if you miss it. You can't screw this one up. And the way that people screw it up is when they leave their retirement accounts in multiple locations. You got an IRA at the bank. You got a 401k with an old employer. You got a 401k with another old employer. You got a 403b, an IRA, a SEP IRA, and they're all individual. You got to figure out how you're going to take the minimum distribution. If you want to know how to do that, we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Hi, it's Bill Haney, owner of the North Shore Music Theater. 2019 will be my 10th season producing shows, and what a great season we have planned.
The season opens with a high-stepping, beloved classic musical, Oklahoma. Next up, it's Disney's new musical version of the hysterical movie, Freaky Friday. Then join us for the hottest ticket of the summer, Jersey Boys. The 2019 season continues with Andrew Lloyd Webber's musical masterpiece, Sunset Boulevard. The season will close with the area's premiere of The Bodyguard, featuring more than 15 hit songs made famous by Whitney Houston. You won't want to miss a single show in 2019.
I got a funny feeling when she walks.
Join us for a show. Visit nsmt.org.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where we provide financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families who live on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and all the surrounding community. If now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning, give my office a call. We are scheduling initial consultations, free initial consultations, because I want to get to know you. You want to get to know us. You want to make sure that a long-term relationship at our office makes sense. Perhaps now's the time for a second opinion. Perhaps you've got some changes that have gone on in your financial life that you say, you know what? I'd like to talk with somebody objectively that looks far beyond my investment mix, but everything else in my financial life. Because, you know, when it's time to get serious, when it's time to draw money from your accounts in retirement, you got to know where everything is and what everything is worth. It's important. It's the only way to do this right. And one of the most important decisions that people make as they approach retirement is the issue of knowing when and how to take money from their retirement accounts at age 70 and a half. Because there is that rule, that minimum distribution rule. In the previous segment, we were talking about taking money out of your retirement accounts at 70 and a half and how much that really amounts to. And I told you that the first year, when you're 70 and a half years old, that amount is roughly 3.6% of the value of your collective retirement accounts, excluding Roths, at the beginning of the year. So if you had $100,000 in retirement accounts, you have to take 3.6%. That's roughly $3,600. But the question is, well, Mark, what if I turn 70 and a half in June? Do I have to take the money after June? Can I take it before June? Can I take it? When can I take it? The IRS doesn't care when you take it, as long as you take it before December 31st. Now, many people like to build the distribution of their retirement accounts into their general cash flow. So they say, you know what? I'd like to have a monthly check sent to me beginning in January, because we know what you have to take for the year on January 1st. Actually, you know what? On December 31st, you know what it is. The charts tell us so. If you're 70 and a half, it's around 3.6%. If you're 80 years old, it's more than that. It might be something like 4.5%. I'm grabbing some numbers here, just pulling it off the charts. There's a chart that is called the Uniform Lifetime Table. It's easy enough to find. You can certainly find it on our website as well. But it's out there. It says, what's the minimum that you need to take? But what's most important is, if you've got stuff scattered everywhere, you could screw it up. And if you miss one distribution, if you don't take the right amount, let's say you had to take out $3,600 over the course of the year, but you only took out $3,000 and you still have to take $600, did you know that there is a 50% penalty on what you didn't take? 50%. That's $600 that you didn't take. 50% of that is $300. Not to mention the fact that the $600 that you're going to have to take, because you didn't take it in 2019, you'll have to take it in 2020, you're going to have to pay tax on that too. Tax and penalty. You don't want to screw this up. Yet more and more people feel like, well, I want to leave my money here and I want to leave my money there, and I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket because I want to keep this with here, and I'd feel bad if I took money away from my friend who's the life insurance guy, or the guy that's the annuity guy, or my friend that's a broker, my brother-in-law works for State Street, and so forth and so on. Folks, it's time to take control of your life, not let others control you. And at 70 and a half, it's time to get your act together. Because it's on you. No one's sending you a paycheck anymore. It's up to you to create your paycheck. It's up to you to create that monthly check that you're going to receive. You may get it from Social Security. You may get a pension. But for the most of us, the bulk of the income that we're going to draw, the bulk of the income that we're going to use to cover our month-to-month expenses, and some of those big purchases as well, are going to come out of our pocket, out of the money that we have accumulated all of these years. And the last thing we want to do, the last thing we want to do is pay more than we need to. You know, earlier in segment one, I talked about the stupidity of people that continue to carry credit card debt and choose not to pay off the credit card debt while instead trying to fund their 401k. You will never catch up with yourself if you forget, if you neglect paying off your credit card debt. The same thing applies, though. The same stupidity can apply when you're 70 and a half. And yeah, you probably don't have credit card debt. But if you're choosing to leave all of your retirement accounts in a multitude of different places simply because you say, well, I've got a relationship with this person, I feel bad, and I don't want to bother this person, it's going to be too much work to move that and to do all that. Well, if you screw up what you have to take for your minimum distribution, you're going to get a nasty letter from the IRS that's going to say you owe 50% penalty on what you didn't take. Oh, and by the way, it's subject to income tax as well. That is as negligent as maintaining credit card debt over a period of time. Folks, when we approach retirement, when you approach retirement, you want financial peace of mind. You want to be able to do what you want to do, not worry about the stuff that is just going to be bothersome and a nuisance. There are systems in place. Friedman Financial has a business in place built exclusively for helping you do that. 65% of our clients are in retirement mode, meaning they are taking distributions from their accounts. And we hold that responsibility. We don't put it on you. So you want to be sure you're doing this right. If now's the time to get serious about your financial planning, if now's the time to say, you know what? I think it's time for us to get serious about organizing all this stuff, getting our financial house in order, knowing where everything is and what everything is worth. Maybe it's time to sit down and talk with us. We're ready. Our doors are open. We want to meet with you. Give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us on the web, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, Financial.com. And if the stuff that we're talking about today, this financial advice in a language you can understand, really resonates with you, at the bottom of every page of my website, you have the opportunity to sign up for Planning Pointers. That is my weekly newsletter. You just go there, put in your name, put in your email address. Let me know how you heard about us. If you want to ask me a question, you want to schedule to see if you want to schedule an initial consultation, you want to just ask me a question about some random thing that's going on in your life, I'm there to answer them for you. It's a service to you. Take advantage of it. But when you click that go button, you will be signed up for my free newsletter. It comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. We're in year 10. Actually, no, we're now starting year 11. Of our newsletter. Over 520 weekly issues. We've never missed a Friday, with the exception of the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. We choose not to send a newsletter on the Friday after Thanksgiving, but instead I send it on Wednesday. Decision we made. Bold decision, I know, on my part, to really, you know, take some risks there. But yeah, we've never missed a week. So I hope you enjoy that as well. All right. So, you know, taking those minimum distributions is important. You got to make sure you do it. But also, the reason that you have to take those minimum distributions and manage it properly is the fact that you are likely to live longer than you ever imagined. How long do you think you'll live? Ask yourself, how long did my parents or my grandparents live? My guess is their life expectancy doesn't matter to you. You're going to live a lot longer because of medical advances, the lifestyle you live. You're probably more active. You're eating better, perhaps. You've worked longer. Your mind is staying more active. And I kind of think that's funny. And we live life in color. I joke about that. You might think I'm silly, but I look back at my pictures of my grandparents that are hanging in the living room of my house, and everything's in black and white. And I'm sorry, if you live in black and white, everything looks older. And I hope nobody ever does my whole family up in black and white, because I want to be vibrant. I mean, we're all about color. But anyways, I wanted to tell you this story. My father started this business, like I said, in 1968. And I've told this story a few times on the radio, but I think it's been a couple of years since I've done it. A gentleman by the name of Herb lived out in Framingham, Massachusetts. He was a candy salesman, candy distributor, I should say. And he was in his 30s, just starting a family. My father was just getting into the business in the 60s. And he was one of my dad's first clients. And he and his wife built a nice family, built a nice business, worked hard, put money aside for the future, helped to pay their kids' college education, paid off their mortgages, put money aside for retirement. And around 63, 64 years old, they decided, we want to retire. We want to sell our business, and we're going to go to Florida. And that's what Herb and Anita did. Herb and Anita have both passed away long time ago. They retired in their 60s. And it was around that time when I was joining the practice with my dad. About 15 years later, I was traveling down to Florida to visit some clients. And I thought, you know, I'll go visit with Herb and Anita. And we went to, if you've ever been down to Boca Raton, there's an Abe and Louie's there at the, there's a shopping mall that's right there. And I met him at the Abe and Louie's. And we went in, And they're both in their 80s now, late 80s. And so I guess it was more than 15 years. Maybe it was 20 years, whatever it was. They were in their late 80s. And I'm sitting across from him. Herb and Anita are there. She has her drink. He has his drink. We're sitting talking. It's a nice night. He looks at the menu and the waiter comes over and he says, oh, I know what I'm getting. It's my favorite thing. He starts salivating. He says, I'm getting the king cut prime rib on the bone. Now, Herb couldn't be more than about 140 pounds. He wasn't when I first knew him in his, when he was in his 50s and 60s, but he's thinned down quite a bit. So this thing was going to be enormous when it came to the table, but we ordered it and we waited. I asked Herb, you know, I want you to think back to when you met with my dad in your 30s. How old did you think you'd be before you died? And what did retirement look like? He says to me, you know, Mark, I think about that actually a lot. He says, I retired early at 63, 64, simply because I was worried that I wasn't going to have enough years to enjoy my retirement. My parents died in their 50s. My grandparents died in their 50s as well. I figured I wasn't going to have much. I didn't have much to live. I mean, I didn't have a long life expectancy. So instead, Herb now is living in his 80s. And he says, you know, every day when I pass 72 years old, because that's what I thought. I thought I would never pass 72 years old. Every day I do that, I feel like I'm living on borrowed time. And he says, and I'm feeling good. Yeah, you know, age catches up to you and you got your aches and pains. But he says, you know, I'm so glad that I put money aside that would stretch long enough so that I can continue to do this. He says, I know I have money to last me till 100. And at that moment, the waiter shows back up with Herb's king cut prime rib. And Herb is like, salivating. He is so excited that it's here. He grabs his black napkin that is sitting there on the table at Abe and Louie's, stuffs it into the front of his shirt, and he is ready to just handle this prime rib. But I didn't realize when I thought he was ready to handle it that he was really going to handle it. With his right hand, he grabs the bone. With his left hand, he grabs the heft of the meat and lifts it up to his face. And he's eating it like he's just killed an animal. I mean, just loving it, the juice running down his face. This guy is so happy. And I thought to myself, you know, when you're 88 or 86, whatever he was, he's on borrowed time. He is happy as can be. I can only hope that my life is as satisfying when I'm that age as it was for Herb. So when you think about your retirement, I don't want you to think about an end date that, oh my God, if I live beyond it, I'm in trouble. Herb had nothing to worry about. Anita had nothing to worry about. And that is when you think about financial advice in a language you can understand. With those stories, you get it. And when we get back, we'll have more of them. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
You got to know the holder, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial of Peabody. 2018 will be remembered as one of the most challenging market environments in a decade. And if you're like many, you're wondering whether your investment portfolio and overall financial plan is best positioned for the future. At Friedman Financial, we pride ourselves on delivering financial advice in a language you can understand. Let's make 2019 the year you get your financial house in order. It's your plan. It's your retirement. Let Friedman Financial help you get there.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Are you ready for retirement? Are you scared? A little worried? Hey, well, the market was pretty crazy in December, wasn't it? Oh, no one liked to open up those statements. But you know what's really interesting to me? By the way, my name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial. We do Dollars and Cents here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. You know what amazed me when people opened up those statements? I thought for sure my phone was going to ring off the hook. I thought it was going to be busy. I thought we were going to have to take in all sorts of panicked calls from folks that looked at their December statement and they go, oh my God, what do we need to do? And so perhaps you, along with our clients of the office, had been listening to the show in the end of December and the beginning of January where I told you, just don't open this statement, just throw it in the trash. Now, people say, Mark, you can't tell your clients to do that. You can't tell them to throw their statements in the trash. Well, I'll be bold enough to tell you to do so. It amazed me. We didn't get any calls. No one called. And what's really interesting is, as we waited for the first 10 or 15 days that passed after the first of the year, you know what ended up happening? You know what the market did? It went up. But in December it went down. Didn't that mean it was just going down and nothing? Wasn't it going to go out of business? Wasn't everything going to crash to go to zero? No. The market goes up. The market goes down. What we had in October, November, and December was what you could call a healthy, yes, a real healthy correction. Now, will this market stay at the levels that it's at? I don't know. Will this market be up or down in March or April? I don't know. But the truth is, every commentator that you watch on CNN and CNBC and Bloomberg and wherever else that you watch, have they got an opinion? They're going to say, oh, it's going up 15%. No, it's going down 12%. The honest answer is, I don't know. That is really the honest answer. But you know what? That doesn't sell radio spots. That doesn't sell TV ads. That doesn't sell enthusiastic eyes that want to watch a television show. It's all about sensationalism. The truth is, nobody knows the direction of the market in the next 3 months or even 6 months. No one knows the direction of the market, frankly, in 3 years. But I can feel better about giving you advice on where the market's going to be 3 years from now. And my general feeling is, in fact, it's a very strong gut feeling, we're going to be higher, perhaps even a lot higher. I don't think we're going to be lower. And so if all of the, if the general sense is 3 years from now, 5 years from now, we believe the economic value of the country, of the world, is going to be higher than what it is now, why are we worried about the day-to-day fluctuations? And some people will say, well, wait a second, Mark. I got to take money from my account every month. I'm retired. I got to be a little bit more careful here. You're right. But hopefully, you're not structuring a portfolio that's 100% in the stock market anyways. You've built a portfolio that is built to sustain volatility while continuing to provide you an income stream. Now, some people will say, well, that solution can be one of these insurance products that are out there. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about just a very basic, and it doesn't have to be too complicated, folks, basic investment strategy that incorporates what's appropriate for you, that includes both stock-based investments, income-based investments, cash-based investments, an incorporation of your Social Security and or a pension, an incorporation of looking at the big picture to know what you can take out, to know that your overall portfolio is managed with the appropriate risk level to sustain ups and downs. I'm not talking about ups and downs of down 70%, up 90%. No. You know what does that? Crazy stocks do that. But if you have a well-balanced portfolio that's made up of mutual funds, made up of exchange-traded funds, made up of what are called packaged products, investments that hold a collection of securities in them, so you can minimize your volatility, you're going to be in a much more comfortable and controlled environment. Now, if you don't know how to take control of that, that's problematic. That's going to be an issue. You need to know how to do that. We try to provide that advice here on the radio. And if you want to get the advice personally for you, you give our office a call. You know how to reach us, FriedmanFinancial.com. Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. But here, as I sit here, I think one of the things that many people are forgetting about is an opportunity that exists today where you can get 1,000% return on your money. Did I just say 1,000% return on my money? Yes, I did. A 1,000% return on your money. Mark, how is that possible? Oh, let me tell you. Did you know, you've heard about the stories of interest rates have gone up, right? Interest rates have gone up. If you've gone out to buy a mortgage lately, you know that you can't get a mortgage for 2.75% or 3% anymore, can you? No, they're probably closer to the fives. Well, you know what's also gone up because interest rates have gone up? Money market and savings rates. In fact, for our clients, we had our clients for the longest time in what was called an insured cash account that was paying like 0.2%. It might have even been 0.02%. And we were able to find a money market fund that's paying them closer to 1.2% now. 1.2% for a money market account? Yeah, and you know what? There's even better ones out there. I'm not saying that ours is even the best. Did you know that you can go to your local bank right now? Your local bank. And check out their money market savings rates. In fact, one of the things that we've been developing in our office for information purposes only, as a guideline only, is once a month we are putting together a rate sheet of area banks, both national banks, the big banks, regional banks and credit unions, and online banks, to get a sense of what their money market slash savings rates are versus a one-year CD and a three-year CD. Did you know that if you go to banks like Bank of America, TD Bank, Bank Santander, do you know what the money market rates are right now? They're minimal. They're under, call it 0.25%. They're still there. Yet you can go down the street to banks like Salem 5 or East Boston Savings or Institution for Savings and find money market rates of 1.75 or 1.5%. You can find others that are even higher than that. You can go to online banks, Capital One, that has an office even in at Marketplace in Linfield. You can go to Ally Bank. You can take a look at some of the local banks actually have online accounts. Those rates are between 1.5% and 2%, and perhaps even more. Folks, if you could go from 0.02% to 1.75%, do you know what kind of return that is on your money? That's thousands of percentage points. Think about this. If you had $100,000, I won't even use $100,000. Let's say I have $10,000 in the bank. $10,000 in the bank, and you are being offered not 1%, but one tenth of 1%. Well, you know what 1% of $1,000 is? 1% of $1,000 is $100. One tenth of a percent is $10. But imagine this. So let's say you're getting 1/10 of a percent, or even getting 2/10 of a percent. 2/10 of a percent would be $20 on $10,000. Now let's imagine you can get 1.5%. Would you prefer $20 or $150? Let's see, $150 in one hand, $20 in the other hand. Going to go with $150. That's $130 more than $20, right? And that's just on $10,000. Why are we not trying to find those deals while instead we're continuing to pay crazy interest rates on our credit cards? All of a sudden, you can begin to justify paying interest on a credit card if you can make more money on money that you have in the bank. You can actually not justify it, but you can feel a little bit better about it. Folks, the opportunities on bank accounts these days, and I just picked a few regional banks because they just happen to be on my rate sheet. I'm not favoring one or suggesting that you should go to one or the other. All I'm saying to you is ask. Ask. The large banks are going to basically give you the middle finger. They're going to say, this is what we do. This is our approach. This is what we do. Well, I can talk to my manager about it, but you know, you're going to get the runaround. Your local banks in the community, when they say they're serious about building relationships with you in the community, well, this is where you put them to the test. And what if you already have a money market account at your local bank? What if you already have an account at your local bank and you look at your money market account and it says, oh, I'm getting 0.25%. That's the best the bank's going to offer. Well, let me tell you this. The bank is not calling you up to say, hey, I noticed you're only getting 0.25% on your money market account. Would you be interested in changing for free to 1.75%? Why would they not call you? I think you know the answer to that question. Because they'd lose money. They want to pick up new business. It's just like the Verizon commercials or the Xfinity commercials where they talk about the Verizon triple play or whatever it is that they call it. Where they've got all these promotions, all these incentives, and at the very bottom it says, for new customers only. You who have been with me for 15 years, who have been paying you $300, $400 a month, sorry, you're screwed. We're not helping you. you know, maybe you should go and take a look at the competitor. Maybe you should go to Xfinity. So what happens when you do that? By the way, what happens when you do that? You call and say, you know, hey, Xfinity's offered me a pretty nice deal. So I think I'm going to leave. Wait a second. Have you taken a look at some of our offers? Well, that's only for new customers. Well, for you, maybe we can make an arrangement, a special arrangement for you. We have become so complacent. I remember my mother-in-law telling me stories when I got married to Laura back in 1991, how she would spend a day or two a week traveling back and forth, moving money from account to account to account to get a better rate on her money market, on her CD, and shopping those rates all day long. We're getting close to that point, folks, where it's important to start doing that. But you know what? You don't have to hop in your car. You don't have to get dressed up to go to the bank. You don't have to make it a day. You can sit at your computer and move money around that quickly. And a few clicks, and you make money. And I'm telling you, there is money that is sitting out there ready for you to have, to earn. And all you need to do is just make the effort. And perhaps today's thoughts on the radio have been the catalyst to point you in that direction. And maybe you just want a whole collection of advice, a new fresh start, a second opinion on getting your financial house in order. If now's the time to get serious about your financial planning, now's the time to get serious about getting your investments structured properly to produce the income stream that you need, give my office a call. We are scheduling free initial consultations at our office, like we always have. We're generally scheduling now into the month of February. Phone number at the office, 978-531-8108. Or even better, visit me on the website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the little tab on the website that says new client information. We got a section there that actually talks to you about here's what you can expect. I want you to go through the here's what you can expect and compare it to the relationship that you have with your current financial advisor. Are you getting that? Do you do that? I will tell you, we wrote that here's what you can expect. It's not coming from some corporate blueprint or from some template that came out. It is what we do, and all of our clients will attest to say that is what happens. If now's the time to get serious, now's the time you want to meet with us, give the office a call, visit the website, sign up for my newsletter. Just go to the bottom of any page on my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Put in your name, email address. Let us know how you heard about us. Sign up for the newsletter, schedule a free initial consultation, whatever you prefer. But if you want to just simply listen, if you want to just hang out every Sunday morning with me from 8 to 9 a.m., I'll be here and I'll be back next week. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial of Peabody. 2018 will be remembered as one of the most challenging market environments in a decade. And if you're like many, you're wondering whether your investment portfolio and overall financial plan is best positioned for the future. At Friedman Financial, we pride ourselves on delivering financial advice in a language you can understand. Let's make 2019 the year you get your financial house in order. It's your plan. It's your retirement. Let Friedman Financial help you get there.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.